We've talked in the past about the Song of Solomon, and the rabbis say that if the writings of the scripture are holy, the Song of Solomon is the Holy of Holies. It's the entrance into the heart of God. It's the entrance, the way, in understanding this, it's the way you understand the meaning of time and space and why life exists. Everything else should be judged against, or judged against this as the hallmark, as the benchmark of your existence. The reason is because it's the betrothal of God to his bride. Therefore, it's the reason for time, it's the reason for Israel, it's the reason for you. And it's read on the intervening Sabbath during the 8 days of Passover. And when it's read, what has to take place in you for it to have any meaning is every other alliance, every other marriage, engagement, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever vows have been made, knowingly or unknowingly, are destroyed at the point of reading the Song of Solomon in knowledge. Because now your only function, your only purpose of living is to be of value to God. You're betrothed to God by the act of the reading of the Song of Solomon. Understand? Now there's all kinds of things. I mean, it's certain, if, both from rabbinical history and from scholarly comparisons, that if Solomon wrote three things. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Proverbs, and the Song of Solomon. And the rabbis have these great discussions about, well, how, and Solomon was a pretty heavy dude. I mean, he had something like 700 wives and 900 concubines.
How do you have time to write?
He got inspired, so to speak.
And didn't pay any, he married Moabitish women. I mean, he didn't do anything right. And so, I mean, he made David's little stuff look like, David's little tryst with Bathsheba look like nothing. And so the big question is, well, how can such a evil man write this which has become, in writing, the Holy of Holies? Or how can something good come from that? And there's an interesting, they use an interesting parable. It says, for from the thorn bush comes the rose. And that's the rose, and we'll see the rose is talked about a great deal here in a minute. Whenever the word thorn or bramble bush or thorn bush is used in the scriptures, it always talks about the twin, Esau, the flesh. It's the tree that it's got thorns on it. It's not a good deal. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And the idea is from you as a thorn. Some of you are really thorny. Shall come forth the rose. Okay? In the same way that from Solomon came forth this incredible work of art. Now this is not just, we can't get it in English, and it's unfortunate. John's going to have to targum it, and write a song, because it's supposed to be sung. And even in the temple, where the music in the temple was supposed to be that which caused a state of ecstasy, just hearing the music in the temple caused ecstasy to take place within your being. This song was the ecstasy of the ecstasies. It's been lost, unfortunately. The temple with its perfect harmonics. The chorus of 20,000 singers and 4,000 harp thingies, whatever it was, huge numbers. But when the Hallel was sung, it says that it put the people in a state of ecstasy. Just the sounds. When the Song of Solomon was sung, it put the people in a state of ecstasy beyond ecstasy. All music, all partying, is a vain attempt to reach that state. Doesn't mean it's good, bad, or indifferent. It just means it's stupid. Because it's vanity. You can't reach it. Peace. You look like you've been hit with a brick again.
Well, I'm thinking about two things. When you were talking about thorns, I was thinking about the crown of thorns. And now you're talking about Solomon, the Song of Solomon. And I was thinking about, over the centuries, this is the book that so many have fought so hard to have ripped out of the Bible. Because it's
well, so that's why, you know, ever since, as long as I've been teaching, I've always said that your sexual drives are the closest thing that you have to understand the mystery of God. I feel like everybody's like in a state of
anxiety, like waiting.
No, I mean, it's like, do you have any response to what I said, or do you?
It's great. I'm anxious to get to it.
What?
I believe it. What you said.
I want to show you something. Go to Psalm 105. Before you go to Song of Solomon. Oh yeah, the other thing is it says there are so many mysteries locked into these, what, 8 chapters of the Song of Solomon, that it would take a lifetime of teaching, 24 hours a day, to uncover them. One of the rabbis who spent his whole lifetime was spent studying the Song of Solomon and its hidden mysteries. He said, I feel as though if all of the men and the women in the world were scribes, and all of the sky was the scroll upon which they were writing the mystery of the Song of Solomon, and all of the oceans and all of the waters were the ink that the scribes used, and all of the cypress and all of the, the papyrus in the world were the pen, the quills to write. He spent a lifetime. He said, I feel as though I've just dipped my pen into the ink for the first time in terms of the little I understand it. And he spent a lifetime studying that one book. Okay, Psalm 105. Every time there's been attempts throughout the ages to destroy the Song of Solomon as a canonical work, both by the ancient Jews, especially the Pharisees, or those that were of the Pharisaical bent, and by modern Christians. Many times it's been, they were going to throw it out. And so the ancients say that it can never be thrown out, because every time anyone attempts to have it thrown out, God himself quotes Psalm 105, verse 15. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Yeah, God opens up a can of whoop-ass. I'm targeting it into Matt's language. Anyway. Song of Solomon. Now, how many people have the Bibles that are...
I do.
Mark. I do.
Mark means to know when the chorus. You can't make any sense out of the Song of Solomon until you know.
I don't think this is marked too well.
Until you know who's saying what to whom. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of dumb words. Gideon's aren't marked.
Well, I'm marking this one.
Do it.
Okay. Now who's it?
It's B, C, and G.
Right? Okay, for the time being, let Jackie read the part that's the bride. And Matt will read the part that's the groom, and then we all will read the chorus part. All right?
Yeah.
And I'll hit you with the stick if you make a mistake.
Thanks.
That's some strong impetus for me to be on my toes.
Who sings the first one?
Right.
The Song of Songs, which is Solomon.
The song. It's a book.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments.
Okay, now let's stop a minute. It's going to take a while. To kiss with the kisses of his mouth. Scriptures always indicate something with regard to kissing. Anytime kissing is talked about. On the wings of the cherubim, in the Holy of Holies, there's two cherubim that are sitting on the mercy seat. Remember?
This is in the temple.
Yeah, and in the heavens, in your heart, if you can only see it. And the wings of the cherubim are the wings of the Shekinah that overshadow, and that's where you want to sit, under the shadow of the Almighty, in the one place on the mercy seat. You don't want justice. Now, one of the cherubim is male, and nobody knows this, I mean, so you can't go check this out, but you gotta. One of the cherubim is male, one of the cherubim is female. When the Shekinah glory is present, when the glory of God is present on the mercy seat, the cherubim kiss, and the wings of the cherubim flutter and touch each other. Mm. When the glory of God is off of the mercy seat, the cherubim are separate. You got the image? Now, the way in which the cherubim, again in the spirit, the way in which the glory of God leaves the temple, that mercy seat, the ancients said, whenever a man or a woman denies their sexuality, the glory of God leaves the temple. Because it denies the mystery of God and the mystery of love. So, that's what this Song of Solomon is about. Well, but the kiss, in the process of, you're asking God here, when you're reading this, you're asking God to kiss you. And by the kiss, he will take away the stony heart. By the kiss, he will melt your stony heart. As the touching, and at that point, as the touching of the wings of the cherubim. And with that act, you are purified. You will be made to cleave only to him. Now, yeah, no, that's enough. That's nothing but kissing.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth.
Let me show you why. Let me just show you why it takes a lifetime to understand this, okay?
Rabbi in motion.
What?
Rabbi in motion.
The words of the Torah, and again, Christ was the Torah made flesh. And as he is in the world, so are you. So now you are Torah made flesh. You don't know it yet. But the word Torah are compared to water in the scriptures, to water, to wine, to oil, to honey, and to milk. Just as water stretches from one end of the world to the other, so the Torah goes from one end of the world to the other. Just as the water is the source of life for the world, so the Torah is the source of life for the world. Now, what they're saying when they say Torah is Jesus. You understand that? Just as water is from heaven, so the Torah is from heaven. Just as the downpour of water is accompanied by loud thunderings, so the Torah was given with loud thunderings, as it says. And it came to pass on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunders and lightnings. And just as water restores the soul, as it says, just as water restores the soul, so does the Torah. Just as water purifies man from his uncleanness, as it says, and I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. So the Torah cleanses an unclean man of his uncleanness. Just as water cleanses the body, so the Torah cleanses the body. Just as water covers the nakedness of the sea, so the Torah covers the nakedness of Israel. Love covereth all transgression. Just as rainwater comes down in drops and forms rivers, so with Torah. If a man but learns two verses a day and two tomorrow until he becomes like a flowing stream, just as water has no taste unless one is thirsty, so the Torah has no taste unless one has failed. Just as water leaves a high place and flows to a low one, so the Torah leaves one whose spirit is proud and cleaves to one whose spirit is lowly. Just as water does not keep well in vessels of silver or gold, but only in the commonest of vessels, so the Torah resides only in one who makes himself like a vessel of earthenware. Just as with water a great man is not ashamed to say to a lowly man, "Give me a drink," so the words of Torah, a great scholar must not be ashamed to say to a lesser one, "Teach me one chapter, or one statement, or one verse, or one letter." Just as with water, if one does not know how to swim in it, he will drown. So with Torah, if one does not know how to thread his way, he will ultimately come to grief. Oh, now I come to interesting. Seeing that the water, now we're coming to rabbis who are objecting to this. Okay, we got seeing that the water is conducted not only to gardens and orchards, but also to baths and toilets, am I to say then that it is the same with the words of Torah? Not so. Just as water makes plants grow, so the words of Torah nurture everyone who labors over them as they require. Shall I say then that just as water becomes just? Shall I say then also that just as water becomes stale and noisome in a jar, so the words of Torah? Not so. Since it says that it is like wine. That's the point. Just as it's not in privies or now it's like wine. Just as the longer the wine matures in the container, the better it becomes, so the more the words of Torah become ingrained in a man, the greater efficacy they have within him. Shall I say that just as water after being drunk is imperceptible in the body, so are the words of Torah? Not so. Since it is compared with wine. Just as wine leaves its mark when drunk, and a man becomes drunk, so the words of Torah leave their mark, and people point with a finger and say, that is a scholar. Shall I say that just as water does not gladden the heart, so the words of Torah? Not so, since it is compared with wine. Just as wine rejoices the heart, as it is written, so the words of Torah rejoice the heart. Shall I say that just as wine is sometimes bad for the head and the body, so are the words of Torah? Not so, since it is compared also to oil. Just as oil makes the head and the body feel pleasant, so the words of Torah make the head and the body feel pleasant. Shall I say then that just as the oil is bitter at first and sweet afterwards, because have any of you tried to eat olives?
Yes.
They're just terrible.
Yes, they're awful.
When you chew them, but when the oil from them is sweet. So are the words of Torah. Not so.
No.
Since it is compared to milk and honey. Just as these are sweet throughout, so are the words of Torah. Shall I say that just as honey has wax cells which are useless and taste bad, so also the words of Torah? Not so, since it is compared to milk. Just as milk is pure, so are the words of Torah pure. Shall I say that just as milk can get sour, so are the words of Torah?
Not so, bozo.
Since it is compared to milk and honey. Just as milk and honey, when combined, do not injure the body and do not spoil, so the words of Torah, as it says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.
Health to thy navel? What does that mean? Stomach.
But anyway, that's the kinds of things that go on throughout this, which is, it just gets awesome.
These people would have been a pain at a dinner party.
Huh?
People would have been a pain at a dinner
party. Oh, it'd been great fun. How many verses have we got?
One.
Two.
Almost three.
He's being difficult.
Okay.
Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee.
Wait a minute. We got to do this. We got to do it one more time.
You read about
oil. Well, no, we got to read about oil.
More on oil.
Holy on oil. That's a great name for a cable show.
My hand about fell off, so I finally just wrote. Torah is compared to wine, olive oil, milk.
Holy oil.
This is neat.
Holy
oil. Thine ointments. Thy name is as oil poured forth. Just as oil in its original form, bitter, but afterwards becomes sweet, just as the oil is improved only by pounding, so Israel are brought to repentance only by chastising. Just as oil will not mix with any other liquid, so Israel does not mix with any other nation or people of the world. Just as oil sits on top of all of the liquids when the cup is full and does not flow over with the other liquids, So the words of Torah flow over in combination with will not flow over in combination with frivolity. Just as if you hold a cup of oil in your hand and a drop of water falls in, a drop of oil comes out to correspond, so if a word of Torah enters the heart, a scoffing word goes out. Just, and if a scoffing word goes in, a word of Torah goes out. Just as oil brings light to the world, so Israel are the light of the world. Just as oil floats above all liquids, so are Israel above all nations. Just as oil makes no noise when it is poured, so Israel makes no noise in this world. What? Oil makes no noise when it's poured, so Israel. So Israel makes no noise in this world.
Wow. Unless mixed with the chains. Now we know why there are no Jewish televisions.
Anyway, but that's, I mean, just in those two things. I mean, we'll see, I mean, throughout the scripture, we'll see wine and oil, right?
Yeah.
And milk.
Water.
But water. Just of all, just those little thingies that we just looked at in those. I mean, in many cases, we've learned more about those and its symbolic meanings. I mean, but that's just a start. I mean, just think, I spent their life studying this. Just this one book. Okay, I'll try not to interrupt for a while. Start at the bride again.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me.
Yes, of course.
No, not yet. You have to say.
It starts at we will.
I said draw me.
We will. Right, keep going.
It's his chorus in mine.
No.
Keep going.
Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers.
We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee.
I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem.
Okay, everybody remember what that means?
Yeah.
No.
Sin man.
Okay, I am black with my own sin.
Yet comely
to the Holy One of Israel.
Nothing on the outside.
Nothing on the outside is beautiful.
O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as okay. The curtains of Solomon.
Okay, again, as the tents of Kedar. The tents of Kedar, that Kedar is the direct descendant of Muhammad. I mean, Muhammad's a direct descendant of Kedar. And the tents of what are they called? The nomads, the
Berbers.
Yeah. Anyway, the tents of the Arab nomads is a name for them.
Bedouins.
Are, who said that?
Jessica.
Oh. They are ugly and sun parched and gunky on the outside. Within, they're full of the greatest treasures and veils. They're beautiful on the inside. That's what it's talking about. As the tents of Kedar, and as the veil of Solomon, or the curtain of Solomon, that's the curtain, the veil that held in the Holy of Holies. So all of these are saying, don't expect, don't even look at the outside in terms of judging yourself. Okay?
Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me.
Okay, the reason you get a suntan and the reason you get a black, this blackness, the sun in its propensity to cause you to tan, its spiritual phenomena is that if you have a suntan, it means you have been worshiping the gods of the east, where the sun rises.
Wow.
You've been worshiping the false gods. You see, that's its symbolism in here. Understand? Okay.
My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard I have not kept.
Yes, that's the lot before you understand your inheritance. You've all worked for another.
Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companion?
The idea that you're too bashful even to approach. Okay?
If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots.
You want to talk about that?
Read the next one first.
Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold.
Okay. Yeah, again, how many people remember? The reason you're compared to a company of horses is that, first of all, the hallmark of these were the best horses there were in the world. And they're compared because, number one, of their endurance. But most important, because of their bloodline. Because they were spirited. They weren't just some wimpy little... God hates wimps. He loves the right bloodline, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He loves abiding or enduring, no matter what the cost. He loves you to be spirited. Now, remember we found out that obedience doesn't mean anything like you ever heard obedience. And rebellion doesn't mean... Rebellion is when you refuse to give what's there. That's rebellion. He wants you to be spirited, alive. And the great one is that you're just as comfortable in the palaces and the showrooms of the world as you are in the desert. There's no comparison. It doesn't matter where you are. These horses were as comfortable in the desert as they were in the palaces of Egypt.
And they're sexy.
We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver.
While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts.
Amen.
My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi.
Okay. Groom.
Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved.
No.
It's me.
Oh, well, doesn't...
Quit stepping on bride's part.
Yeah, don't step on any parts of the bride.
Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green.
Yick. You're not fitted.
The beams of our house are cedar and our rafters of fir.
You know, I could stop and go through all this stuff, but it will never get done, so...
I just want to know what myrrh and camphor
is. Myrrh is the most expensive, the most precious of all fragrances. What am I trying to say?
Perfumes.
The camphor is the cypress tree, and it's a bad translation. It would take forever, but each of these things refer, as you go down the cedar and the fir and the cypress, each of these are elements within the temple. And when we study the temple, finally, then we will see what each of those spiritually signifies. Okay? Okay. You read. Keep going.
Okay. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley.
Okay, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. He doesn't feel good. He's just wiped out.
He was starting to fall asleep.
He was falling out of his chair.
The rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley is something that's hidden. You're hidden away. There's no visibility. You can't see them.
I've heard of
I just remember from my childhood hearing about the Rose of Sharon.
Well, it's always because people don't know who said what to whom in here. They've always said that's Christ. It's not.
That's the bride part?
Huh?
That's the bride part?
Yeah. Okay, the groom, verse 2.
As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters.
Okay, you understand again something that's... The lily is small, stays near the ground. The thorns grow, cover the lily. The imagery again.
We had in our backyard a huge crawling rose bush, and just all over there, just a mass. And underneath at the base, it grew in the valley. That's so cool.
That's neat.
That's neat. We could crawl into there and get all cut up to smell.
Get the bride.
As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons.
Now, that's an important one. The apple tree doesn't... Have you ever been around apple orchards?
Yes.
Well, they're not neat in terms of the trees of the woods because they don't give you any shade. The apple leaves are minuscule and there's no shade. There's no reason that you would go to an apple tree in the as opposed to the other trees of the wood to get shade. So that's, again, it's this thing, the idea that there's a mystery locked in here. It's the apple, I mean, the mind, the sensory perception can't see the mystery.
Not the tree, it's the fruit.
Yeah. Okay?
I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste.
Okay. Now again, see, that's the point. The point of that is that it doesn't make any sense to sit down under the shadow of an apple tree. You'd never do that. So you're sitting under the shadow. When you're sitting under the shadow of an apple tree, the imagery is what you're truly sitting under is the shadow of the Shekinah glory, the wings of the cherub on the mercy seat.
That they're still like.
Yeah.
Was the apple tree anything special? No, you studied all the tree stuff.
I'm not ready to talk. Yeah, I was using the temple, but I can't.
The only other time I remember apple being in the scriptures is the apple of my eyes. Or
that's not even the same. That's not the right translation. It's pupil. When it talks, it means that when you're compared to the apple of his eye, you're close enough, intimate enough with him, so that you can see his pupil, see your reflection in his pupil. So whenever you see that comparison of the apple of your eye, that's what it means. You can see, you're close enough and intimate enough to him so you can see your reflection in his pupil.
I should do that when I got hot.
Not big, mirrors don't count.
No, and girls' eyes.
Okay.
Wow.
Look at that.
He brought me to the banqueting house and his banner over me is love.
Now the banqueting house, that's a bad translation in the Hebrew, he brought me to the house of wine. To what it says. And his banner over me was love. That's your own. And again, banner doesn't mean anything in our language. Like one of the 16 titles of God is Jehovah Nisi. Well, it means that the banner was, that's why everybody in all those ancient societies, everybody had a banner they carried, or that was a family emblem or crest. Mm-hmm. Well, the only, Jehovah Nisi means that you lose the right to call yourself by any other thing. And Nisi means banner, only banner. But it's like, you can't call yourself even down to the nitty gritty, you can't call yourself male or female, bond or free, Jew or Greek, American or, none of that shit makes any difference. And that the fruit of that banner is love. But not love like, it's love that endures, that grows in a mystery.
I think you got that down. Spell that. This banqueting house, being a house of wine. I was reading something about Noah, and there was a place near his vineyards, and it was called the house of the vineyard, or the house of wine.
Yeah. Okay.
Stay me with flagons.
It means refresh me with wine. Now you got to understand, he's talking about here the wine of the new covenant. This is what Christ was talking about.
comfort me with apples, for I am sick, sick with love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me.
Now this is your charge to the rest. This is a biggie. Listen carefully to this next verse.
I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please.
Think about that one.
Okay.
Does that mean, drop out the line?
I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up, nor awaken love, till he pleases. In other words, you
don't go out and try to evangelize these guys.
That's right.
You wait on God to live and yelling and screaming at.
Just respond.
You respond and you could spend a lifetime studying that verse.
Wow.
Okay. Right.
The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills.
Now, why is that important? He's coming leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills because that's the location of your high place activity.
Yes.
He's stepping on it.
Skipping on it.
Skipping, playing on it, fucking on it if he wants to. But, I mean, you're the former high place, high priestess and high identity roles of this emotional worship and all that kind of stuff. It served its purpose. Now it only acts as a footstool or a stepping stone for the sun. You see?
I like footstool.
Yeah.
My beloved is like a roar, a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the land.
Well, we just see a little bit. Behold, it's not like we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. It's almost like a tease. That's why you enjoy being teased.
Have you ever walked around a bend in a path or something and come face to face with a deer or an elk or something?
Okay.
My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For the love of the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land.
Turtle dove.
Yeah.
The sound of the turtle dove is always.
The voice of the turtle. This is so weird. Sorry.
Yeah.
Quizzle didn't have to put up with this shit. The turtle dove. The cooing of the turtle dove is the call. The bridegroom to the bride. Okay?
Wow.
And you'll see that imagery throughout the scriptures. The sound of the bride or the bridegroom. The turtle is a turtle dove.
Hmm.
Okay?
Who's that fig tree? Fig tree putteth forth her green figs and the vines. With the tender grape, give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Till the day break and the shadows flee away, turn my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bather.
What does verse 15 mean?
I don't know.
It means catch. You take care of the little foxes that steal the grapes. You protect the grapes. You protect the vineyard. You bring forth the wine.
It's kind of like, business of thinking that we're going to consume something under our own lusts. It's like it's up to God. It's like we don't have to worry about that.
By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that could see.
I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, that's you. Go ahead.
I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up, nor awake my love, or wake love, till he please. Who is this? Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powers of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with blood of the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like 2 young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee.
Yeah.
Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. From the top of Amana, from the top of Shinir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravaged my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravaged my heart with one of thine eyes, with
Ravish.
One...
Ravish.
Ravish?
Ravish.
With one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments, than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphor, with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon.
Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat of his pleasant fruits.
I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved.
I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I saw him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick. Beloved.
Okay.
What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost adore the artist?
My beloved is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are the eyes of doves, by the rivers of water washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as a bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
Whither is thy beloved going?
Of course.
Everybody's going. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Oh. Why, when she went to the door, that he withdrawn himself? She says that when he called, her soul failed.
Yeah.
Does that mean that
wasn't time.
It's the same experience.
It wasn't the time appointed to the Father.
Mm-hmm. And she shrunk back?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, he disappeared.
We were reading that as you wanted to Esther.
Yeah, it's the time appointed to the Father, not the time appointed to the bride or the groom.
Well,
Whither is thy beloved gone? O thou fairest among women, whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee?
My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies.
Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead.
We got to get this Targum, because that's really neat when you see it, but it sounds stupid here. Go ahead.
Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep, which go up from the washing, whereof every one beareth twins, and there is not one barren among them. As a piece of a pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 70 queens, and 80 concubines, and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley, and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Wherever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Ammonite did.
Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee.
What will ye see in the Shulamite, as it were the company of two armies?
What does that mean?
Yeah, what's a Shulamite?
A Shulamite is us, the bride. The Shulamite is someone that's suspected of having a royal ancestry, but has ended up being a shepherd. He's down in the, doing shepherd stuff. And the chorus, verse 13, chapter 6, return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee.
What?
No.
Now the groom.
What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies.
It means you'll see. The question is, what will you see? It doesn't look. The Shulamite, by definition, is some gunked up, dirty, scraggly shepherd lady.
Bag lady.
Shepherdess.
Bag lady. Shepherdess. Off score.
Merrill Street.
What will you then? And the groom, in his knowledge, says, what will you see? Two armies. An impressive sight. I'm gonna rewrite this. That's what so that John can then.
Yeah. Why don't you target?
Huh?
Yeah.
Chapter 7.
We're at the end
chapter
of chapter 7. Verse.
Now, chapter 7.
Groom.
How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter.
See, he's seeing, the natural mind sees the gunk.
He looks and sees the prince's daughter.
You just interrupted the best line in the whole one.
How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. Here. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman.
Cunning, cunning.
Of a cunning linguist.
Oh, I knew we couldn't make it all the way through. We were doing so good compared to last year. We missed the Valley of Nuts and all
things. Oh, God, we did.
We're on good behavior.
I'm not going to say it.
We haven't offended Jessica yet.
Oh, yes, you have.
Well, Matthew.
She's not easily offended.
Matthew just offended her.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that offended.
Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor.
Amen.
Thy belly is like an heap of wheat set about with lilies.
What a babe.
Bible horn.
Hey, later tonight we have to read this again in the House of Many Men.
Yeah, we're going to go home and read this. Yeah.
Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. My neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon, by the gate of Bath Rabban. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus.
What a schnoz.
Thy head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries.
What does that mean?
New way.
Hmm?
What does that mean? The king
what?
Is held in the galleries.
Enslaved.
How fair and how pleasant art thou, love for delights. This, thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breasts to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree, and I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breasts shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved.
Now wait a minute. Now, okay, the better translation of verse 9, it should all, the whole of it should be the bride speaking. And it should say, it goeth down sweetly, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. Or the lips, but more, in the Hebrew it doesn't mean like asleep, it means like causing the lips of those who have been disinterested to spout forth. Okay?
I am my beloved's in. His desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth to the field.
I mean, yeah. I'm gonna let us finish.
Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish. Whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth, there will I give thee my loves. The mandrake give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Oh, that thou wert as my brother that sucked the breasts of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee, yea, I would not be despised. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me.
Just keep your pomegranates in order.
Daryl.
It wasn't me.
Don't blame it on me.
He gave me one of those cockeyed Daryl blame when it was over.
Now we can really get in.
Yeah.
Well, there's the proof.
I lost my spit.
He's actually going to have to move now.
It's kind of like only making coffee, huh?
Oh, man.
Ow!
I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up nor awake my love until he please.
Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?
I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave, and the coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. a man would give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be content.
What does that mean?
Hmm?
What does that last line?
Everything you own is enough to buy love.
Yeah.
Everything you own isn't enough to buy love.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it.
If everything you own, of anything, everything, anybody that could write this would own, would be despised if they tried to buy love
right.
with it.
I think that's enough.
Okay.
We have
a little sister, and she hath no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for?
If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar.
Please.
Jackie, that's really uncharitable of you to laugh.
Especially you.
Really,
slime dog. Slime
dog. You will get one of the that we've got number four.
Really? She's not sharing.
Yeah, I think you have a share.
I share.
Yeah, man.
Your turn is dearest brush.
It gives me hugs, too. I'm a wall.
You were talking about sharing.
Read it.
Now you have to read it, okay?
Now you have to read it, smartass.
Yeah, now you're going to get it.
Read it.
The wall reads. I am a wall and my breasts are like towers.
Amen.
Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard unto keepers. Everyone for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. What's Baal Hamon mean?
I don't know.
My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000. And those that keep the fruit thereof, 200.
Thou that dwellest in the garden. Oh, that's you. Never mind.
Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it.
Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe, or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices.
Okay.
Yay.
You know what's neat is that it's my sister, my spouse. You know, it's like what you were talking about Gentile love before. Exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I can part of you. Oh, that thou wert my brother.
The verse that always causes me to be so wiped out is that in verse 13 of chapter 8, thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. The groom is saying, cause me to hear your voice. Christ is saying to us, cause me to hear your voice. How's that done? He can only hear our voice when we are speaking the same language.
Yeah. Saying alongside.
When we are confessing with God, we can speak the voice and the language of God. Confess means to speak the same thing as. And that's why the only battle is in our mind, that our mind would slowly be would be moved to speak the same thing, and the mind talk would be the same mind talk as God.
The one that really grabbed me was where the line where he tells the bride, you're without spot.
Yeah. Now remember that the essence of this is that you, by the act of reading this, you have become engaged to the Holy One of Israel. And by the act of reading it in your understanding, you have cut any other alliances. Yeah. And the engagement took place on the Feast of Passover when you left the world. It's consummated at the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen?
Amen.
So, we have never done this thing right, Song of Solomon. Because, I mean, I start teaching on it, and then all of a sudden I find out it's going to be 4 years for me to teach with all this stuff. And so then, the only way we're ever going to do this is to have like
an afternoon,
like to do it on a weekend or something. I don't know.
That'd be fun.
And then maybe that will be the inspiration for John to targum it into music. It would be wonderful.
Yeah, a neat song to sing in a wedding.
Yeah.
Anybody have anything else? Let's see what I had made myself a couple notes here. Well, one of the things about this is that a man, there's a parable about a man that planted a huge wheat field. And from that huge wheat field, he took a bushel of wheat to a baker and instructed him to turn it into one cake, the best that he could do. And so, and what the analogy here is that so is the wisdom, all of the wisdom of the world is like the field. All of Solomon's wisdom is like the bushel. And that one cake is like the Song of Solomon. And you'll see, if I ever get to teach on this, that the Song of Solomon is in three definitive sections that define different parts.
He was talking about coming out of the wilderness.
And yeah. It refers to the redemption from Egypt, the redemption from Babylon, and the redemption from Edom, or the flesh. And so those three redemptions are from the world, from religion, and from the flesh, so that God can take his hands off you and say to Satan, in the world, the devil and the flesh, and religion, take your best shot. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the only reason you're here, is to be tested so that they can take their best shot. Okay? Damn, I'd love to have. I lay awake nights sometimes thinking about the music, what this must have sounded like. Just think about the act of hearing music could put you in a state of ecstasy.
There are teensy glimpses of that. I know you and I have had teensy little experiences of that listening to music or opera, but it's always short-lived. I mean, it's amazing to think about that being over an extended period of time rather than, you know, just a flash.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay! Take it large, person.